Well, good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here to share God's word with you on this L.W. Mel Sunday. And again, this morning, we do honor the women of grace who've done so much for this congregation over the years to spread the gospel and to bring comfort and hope to people's lives and are continuing to do that, as Cheryl shared with us some of their projects here locally and we know globally as well they are involved in doing. The text this morning for today's message is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, and I'm going to begin actually another verse or two prior to verse 6, because as I look at it, it really goes together well. And picking up with Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I had quite a bit written about L.W. Mel, but Cheryl ended up sharing a lot of it with you, so I decided to skip a couple of pages here because I would simply be redoing what she already told you. But I think we get the point. We get the impression that L.W. Mel, or the Women of Grace, and all of these other auxiliaries throughout the Missouri Synod are busy doing something very, very important, and that is proclaiming the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for all people. And when we think about it, L.W. Mel is really in business, God's business, the business of redesigning, the business of remodeling, and yes, the business of transforming people's lives. Some people might ask, where does L.W. Mel or the Women of Grace get this kind of inspiration to do these things? Well, the answer is pretty simple. It's from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The author, and I guess we could say the authority, when it comes to redesigning, remodeling, and transforming people's lives. In His Word, the Holy Scriptures, when we open up the Scriptures and begin reading from Genesis all the way through Revelation, we soon discover rather quickly of one example of after another of God working in the lives of people, redesigning, remodeling, and transforming them. We don't have to look very far again. We can open up again the very opening chapters of the book of Genesis and read how God acted there in the lives of Adam and Eve. God did not allow Adam and Eve to remain in their sin following their disobedience and eating the forbidden fruit and being driven out of the garden. God did not want to condemn them forever for this act. No, the great remodeler meets Adam and Eve and says to them, I created you. I love you. I have a plan for you. I will send a deliverer into the world who will crush the head of the serpent who created this whole situation and reunite you back with me again. And through him, I will remember your sins no more. Salvation came about because our great God and Savior was making a new plan, had a new design in mind for His people. So I think we can reflect this morning that God is involved in the remodeling business. But we're not talking about houses. We're not talking about commercial property. We're talking about people's lives. And there are countless other examples of God redesigning and remodeling and transforming people in the Scriptures. There's an interesting section in the book of Jeremiah that definitely talks about this. One day the Lord sent Jeremiah, his prophet, to a potter's house. And when he got there, he saw a man on a potter's wheel. He was making pottery, making out of a piece of clay, making a nice, beautiful pot. It was to be a beautiful pot that this man was making. The design was, you see, in the potter's head. And the creating manner about how he went about it was in his hands. And round and round and round the wheel went. Clay, water, the skill of the potter's hands. He was designing, he was creating something that was looking, from Jeremiah's perspective, absolutely beautiful, a beautiful pot, perfect. But then something suddenly goes wrong. Perhaps a tiny pebble, a stone. The pottery is marred. A little piece of gravel, perhaps. And suddenly there's a major crack in this once beautiful pot. It's no longer beautiful any longer. It's ugly. It's worthless. No one would want it. No one would want to buy it. So what would such a piece, what would such a piece of pottery like this, would the potter do with it? Why, he would take it and he would throw it away as useless. But not this potter. Instead, he redesigned the cracked pot, added more water, more skill with his hands, and the cracked piece of pottery is transformed, redesigned, remodeled. And the clay jar now becomes something very, very beautiful. And as Jeremiah was admiring the redesigned and remodeled pot, God speaks to Jeremiah and says to him, "Can I not do with Israel what this potter has done? Can I not forgive them? Can I not remodel them? Can I not redesign them so that they too will be a thing of beauty?" As I mentioned, you can see how God redesigns and remodels people throughout the scriptures. The disciples, think of them. They were redesigned. They were remodeled by Christ. Some of them, remember, were simple fishermen. One was a tax collector. Another was a zealot. But Jesus made them into something special. He made them into fishers of men. And then remember also, though, when they fell from grace in the Garden of Gethsemane, how they all fled and left Jesus when he was arrested. And how Peter followed Jesus and the guards back to the place where the high priest was in his courtyard and was asked if he knew Jesus, and he denied him, not once, not twice, but three times, and said terrible things about Jesus in front of people in his denial. But by God's grace, Peter was forgiven. God forgave Peter. And later, following Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the church, Peter was filled with the Spirit and proclaimed, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved." A beautiful testimony on the part of Peter. What a beautiful transformation as well. Peter and the others were restored by Christ. They were forgiven. They were transformed. And they were transformed to be ministers, apostles, to be sent out into parts of the world to proclaim the gospel. And the gospel simply is Jesus, what Jesus did for us, his life, his death, his resurrection, that he's the very Son of God, that he is without sin. He came into the world to take away our sin. He came into the world to purchase a place in heaven for us, which he has gone ahead to prepare for us, and he's coming again as well, and we as a church need to get ready for that. And we get ready for that by doing the things that L.W. Mell is doing and the Women of Grace. There's another important person in the scriptures that was definitely transformed, definitely remodeled, definitely redesigned by God. We read about him in the early chapters of the book of Acts. His name was Saul, who we know as Paul. And on the road to Damascus, he was on the road to Damascus to arrest and persecute the followers of Jesus, Christians. But suddenly we are told the bright light knocked him to the ground. And the voice of Christ spoke to Paul. And Christ put Paul on a new road to spread the gospel of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ everywhere. So Paul spent the rest of his life, who once was an enemy of Christ, now the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. Paul spent the rest of his life speaking about Jesus wherever he could go, wherever he went, and writing about Jesus. In fact, quite a bit of the New Testament, when you open it up and read it, you know it's letters from the Apostle Paul. And it's letters all about his transformation and how God remodeled and redesigned his life in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and how Jesus saved him on that road to Damascus, and how Jesus promises each and every one of us eternal life. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but because God in his grace sent Jesus to take away our sin, to unite us back to God, where through Jesus and our faith and trust in him, we have access to the Father, even access to heaven itself. Paul is an example of a person, amazingly, who was transformed by God. Paul was redesigned by Christ to become that great missionary. And the question really is this morning as we gather together as God's people is God still redesigning? Is God still remodeling people? Is God still in the transformation business? And the answer is absolutely, absolutely yes. Let's reflect for a moment and consider what God has done in our lives. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. God may have used someone, a family member, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, someone who shared the gospel with us. God used that person who was transformed, redesigned, so that we might know Christ and be part of the Christian community and know the love of God that is revealed in sacred scripture. God is absolutely involved in people's lives. We here today are a testimony of it. Indeed. That Christ has changed us. In fact, Scripture speaks about this very clearly when Paul says, if any man or any person, any man, woman, child is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Powerful words of hope and comfort given to us by our God. He comes to us in the ordinary waters of baptism, bestowing upon us his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit brings faith, and with faith there's forgiveness, life, and salvation. He changes us and transforms us and redesigns us to be like Christ. That's what Christ calls us to be like him. That all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Remember how Jesus loved us, gave his life for us, cared for us, showed compassion for us on the cross so that we might have salvation. So we show love to one another because of the motivation of the Holy Spirit within us to be like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to be considerate of others. He redesigns us to be that way. He meets us also in the sacrament of his body and his blood, again, forgiving our sins and strengthening us to do ministry in his name and through the power of the word of God, which scripture tells us is the power of God unto salvation. We speak that word to others and things happen, things take place. I can assure you that the work of L.W. Mell and the work of the Women of Grace, when they go out and they spread the news of Jesus' love, that word does not return void, as Scripture tells us, but will always accomplish its purpose. Always. In one way or another, God's word will accomplish he intends it to be carried out. Through that word, He empowers us to live for Christ, calling us also to repentance. Because as Christian people reflect on the way the world is going, and we don't like the way the world is going, we see a lot of things that are not, that are opposite really of what Scripture teaches how we are to act and behave. And by God's grace, we pray, Lord, lead me to repent from such things. Lead me to be like Jesus. Lead me to be like that child you've called me to be. And so he instructs us through his word how we are to live, and that plan of salvation he has for us in Christ. Our text today, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, that text really does describe God's redesigning, remodeling, not only individuals, but I guess we could also say congregations, and even church bodies as they come together and focus on the Word of God, are encouraged by the Word of God, and filled by the Spirit of God to carry out God's work, to tell people about what God has done in the world, how he entered history to save each and every one of us. The Bible is really about salvation, salvation history for the entire world. Now, Paul wrote to the Philippian congregation for a variety of reasons, to remind them to focus on Christ and not on themselves, not to become selfish or bitter or conceited, but to follow Christ and to work together in love with one another. And he reminds them in Philippians chapter 2, being God, Jesus became a servant of all and gave his life into death on the cross as an atonement for sin, so that we might have salvation. And because of him, again, we are forgiven. Forgiven all of our sins. And redesigned and remodeled by God to show the power of Christ in our lives. By showing love to one another, forgiving one another, praying for one another. And I see this happening here with Emmanuel Lutheran Church, that God's Spirit is active and involved here in the lives of the people of this congregation, caring for one another, praying for one another, and working together as the body of Christ to spread the glorious, precious gospel of the Savior to all the world. And that is God's will. The Scriptures tell us that God wants all men to be saved. And through our ministry, your ministry here, we accomplish that. In all of this and more, we demonstrate the love we have for God in our hearts. So this morning we praise God for the group of the Women's Auxiliary of Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and specifically the Women of Grace, for the work they're doing within the Church of God to seek and save the lost, the brokenhearted, the hurting. And perhaps even some of you today are here today. You have some challenges in your personal life, difficulties that you're dealing with, a particular problem. You are here today, you came because I need a word of encouragement from God to help me get through that situation that I'm facing that seems to be causing me some restless nights and little sleep. A word of assurance and comfort. And that is exactly what we have from this text from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Again, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not through with you or with me, and he will never abandon us. He promises to be with each one of us each and every day, guiding and directing us, redesigning us to be more like Jesus and helping us with the situations that we face. May that be our fervent prayer this morning, Lord. Continue to work in my life. Continue to mold me, redesign me, transform me to be like your Son and to reflect his love and his glory to those around me. May that be so. Amen. And now may the peace of Almighty God, which truly transcends all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds in faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise for our prayers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, giving you thanks and praising your holy name for sending your only begotten Son into the world to be our Savior from sin, to deliver us from death, and to promise us even life everlasting with you in eternity in heaven. For all of this, gracious Lord, we lay our hearts before you and thank you and praise you unendingly. We ask your blessings also upon the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Christian Church globally, and especially L.W. Mell and the Women of Grace here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Continue to give us a zeal in our hearts to seek and save the lost and to bring them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bring them into a relationship with you, a relationship of love, a relationship that transforms their lives and makes their lives so much, much better, that they may have peace, encouragement, understanding, and all of the blessings that you give us through Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work through your church in the world we live. We see so much conflict and turmoil and division. We pray that you would use your church and your people to bring peace and comfort to those who find themselves in those situations. Guide and direct our country, we pray, and especially be with the situation in Washington. We lift up those who occupy positions of authority over us, our president, Congress, our governor, everyone throughout the federal, state, and local level, Lord. Guide and direct them, especially lead them to your word, where you speak to our hearts of your love, grace, and forgiveness, and how we are called to be your people. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your blessing also to be upon those who served in the military forces, some who may be part of this congregation or those we know. Be with them, comfort them, keep them in safety, Lord, and help them to express their love for you and the assurance of your grace in Christ our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also remember those before us who are in need of your care, who are dealing with illnesses or particular problems, who are maybe homebound as well. We lift up to you those individuals on our prayer list this morning, and also the homebound. We ask you to be with these individuals and others in our hearts, Lord, who are in need in their life because of certain situation. Be at work in their lives and even use us, Lord, to go to them and speak that word of comfort, peace of the gospel to them, and the love of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember those who will be celebrating or are celebrating their weddings and anniversaries at this congregation throughout this month. Continue to bless them and strengthen their faith and love for you. Lord, in your mercy. We bring all of these prayers and petitions now before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.